Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church of Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Good morning. Welcome to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast. My name is John Racine with the Church of Las Vegas, and we are going to continue from last week's message concerning the life of Solomon, a time in the scriptures from when Solomon became king all the way through the time of Ahab, which is about a 100-year period, the time frame that we're going to be considering. And I'm doing this to just show us how well things can be and then how they can go south and turn into something that never would have thought possible. But this is why it's so important for us to understand the Word of God and to learn from it. Not just the good things, the positive things, but also the warnings, also the things that are there to teach us about what not to do. In Romans chapter 15 in verse 4, the Word of God says, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope." And so everything that was written to teach us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 6, talking about Israel's history, and especially in the wilderness. In verse 6, 1 Corinthians 10:6, it says, "Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did." Okay, so we're to gain a warning from what Israel did and what they didn't do, so that we might not follow in those same ways ourselves. In Psalm 19, in verse 11, talking about the law of the Lord, it says, "By them your servant is warned, in keeping them there is great reward." And so we want to take the things of the Word of God that are good for us and put them into practice in our lives. We want to take the warnings, we want to take the examples and say, "Hey, I don't want to follow that example. I don't want to go down that road." And I think that as we continue in this lesson, we'll see that as Solomon began to do that, and as the kingdom of Israel became divided, and as Jeroboam began a really steep, slippery path into idolatry and sin and leading people away from a right relationship with God, all the way down to the time of Ahab, we'll see what can happen when the Word of God is not heeded. And this is something that's so important for each and every one of us to make sure that, as far as it depends on us, okay, we're going to live the Word of God in our life. We are going to reject that which is evil. We're not going to be conformed to the pattern of this world. We're going to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And we're going to continue to do that, because as we talked about last week, it's not enough to just start. It's not enough to begin. It's something that we have to finish. It's something that we can finish. We were reading in Jude on Wednesday night how that God is able to keep us, and God is able to help us and keep us from stumbling. In Jude, verse 24, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ, our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. And so that is so amazing. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. God can do that for us, and God will do that for us. But friends, he's not going to do that against our will. You know, David understood this when we read in 1 Kings chapter 2 the last time, in 1 Kings chapter 2, that David exhorted Solomon, and he said, listen, I'm about ready to go the way of all the earth, but you need to be strong and act like a man and observe what the Lord your God requires. Walk in obedience to him. Keep his decrees and commands, his laws and regulations, as written in the law of Moses. Do this that you may prosper in all that you do. And so he goes on to say, if your descendants watch how they live, and if they walk faithfully before me with all their heart and soul, you will never fail to have a successor on the throne of Israel. So we considered that. We also considered how when God appeared to Solomon in a dream and asked him, you know, ask for whatever you want me to give you. And so Solomon, we learned, he asked for a discerning heart in 1 Kings 3 and verse 9. Give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between what is right and wrong. You know, what an amazing request that God asked of, or that Solomon asked of the Lord. And it says in verse 10 that the Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked this. You know, I don't know about you, but I want to be pleasing to God. And frankly, it breaks my heart when I'm not, when instead of walking in the Spirit, I've chosen to allow the flesh and to allow the things of this world to be a part of my life. It doesn't happen all the time, but like Romans chapter 7 says, you know, Paul writes and he says, man, the things that I want to do, I find myself not doing, and the things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. And it's just, it's frustrating that it's like that. There's a battle between the flesh and the Spirit, like Galatians 5 talks about. And so we have to make up our minds. We have to determine that we are going to serve God for the long term. And so in 1 Kings chapter 4, then continuing on, 1 Kings chapter 4, starting in verse 29, it says, God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight, and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of all the people of the East, and greater than all the wisdom of Egypt. He was wiser than anyone else, including Ethan the Ezrahite, wiser than Heman, Calcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahal, and his fame spread to all the surrounding nations. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs numbered 1,005. He spoke about plant life, from the cedar of Lebanon to the hyssop that grows out of walls. He also spoke about animals and birds and reptiles and fish. And from all nations, people came to listen to Solomon's wisdom, sent by all the kings of the world who had heard of his wisdom. So, you know, Solomon asked, God followed through and gave him an amount of wisdom that was just known about all over the world. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? And so because of all this, and because of where everything was at that time, Solomon was able to do something that David wasn't, because now they were at peace. Solomon was able to build a temple for the Lord. He was not a man of bloodshed and war like his father was. And so he was able to build this magnificent temple at that time for the Lord, for the Lord's presence. And again, in 1 Kings chapter 6, starting in verse 11, 1 Kings chapter 6 and verse 11, it says, the word of the Lord came to Solomon as for this temple you are building, if you follow my decrees, observe my laws, and keep all of my commands and obey them, I will fulfill through you the promise I gave to David your father, and I will live among the Israelites, and I will not abandon my people Israel." What an amazing promise that God gave Solomon. But you'll notice there that it was a conditional promise. Okay, it wasn't that, you know, this is going to happen. It says, if you follow my decrees, if you observe my laws and keep my commands and obey them. Okay, and so we need to remember that God's promises are conditional. God promises those things to those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose, who've set their hearts on and minds on things above. And so he reminded, and even as a warning, that Solomon, I'll do this, but you need to make sure that you continue to be faithful as well. And so when you go over to 1 Kings chapter 9, starting in verse 1, you'll see that here is the second time that God appears to Solomon, and it's after Solomon has completed the building of the temple. Now, when you read Solomon's prayer of dedication in 1 Kings chapter 8, it's like, wow, what a prayer that Solomon offered to God. And let's just look at the last part of that in 1 Kings chapter 8. Solomon stands and he blesses the whole assembly of Israel in a loud voice. Verse 56, "Praise be to the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel, just as he promised. Not one word has failed of all the good promises he gave through his servant Moses. May the Lord our God be with us as he was with our ancestors. May he never leave us nor forsake us. May he turn our hearts to him, to walk in obedience to him and keep the commands, decrees, and laws he gave our ancestors. And may these words of mine, which I have prayed before the Lord, be near to the Lord our God day and night, that he may uphold the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel according to each day's need, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is no other. And may your hearts be fully committed to the Lord our God, to live by his decrees and obey his commands as at this time." And so what a great prayer that Solomon prayed, and especially that end, "May your hearts be fully committed to the Lord our God." You see, when our hearts are fully committed to the Lord our God, then the Lord is fully committed to keeping the promises that he made for us. Friends, it's when our hearts aren't fully committed, that's when we start experiencing the troubles of life. That's when we start experiencing the bondage of sin all over again. That's when, instead of a feast, you know, we're digging around in a garbage can as far as life goes. Okay, we need to make sure that our hearts are fully committed to the Lord. As Proverbs 4 and verse 23 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for from it spring the issues of life." And so we need to make sure and stay in tune with the Lord our God. Now look at 1 Kings chapter 9, starting in verse 1. "When Solomon had finished building the temple of the Lord and the royal palace and had achieved all he had desired to do, the Lord appeared to him a second time as he had appeared to him at Gibeon. And the Lord said to him, 'I have heard the prayer and the plea that you have made before me. I have consecrated this temple which you have built by putting my name there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. As for you, if you walk before me faithfully with integrity of heart and uprightness as David your father did, and do all I command and observe my decrees and laws, I will establish your royal throne over Israel forever as I promised David your father when I said you shall never fail to have a successor on the throne of Israel. But if you or your descendants turn away from me and do not observe the commands and decrees I have given you and go off to serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the land I have given them and will reject this temple I have consecrated for my name. Israel will then become a byword and an object of ridicule among all peoples. This temple will become a heap of rubble All who pass by will be appalled and will scoff and say, why has the Lord done such a thing to this land and to this temple? And people will answer, because they have forsaken the Lord their God, who brought their ancestors out of Egypt and have embraced other gods, worshiping and serving them. That is why the Lord has brought all this disaster on them. You see, God was giving them a warning because, frankly, God knew their hearts. And God, as we talked about on Wednesday night, is a God who all of time is before. Okay, with God, past, present, future are right before him, just like only the present is before us. We talked about this on Wednesday night. And so God knew what they were going to do, but he warned them about making sure that, you know, you do this, because by doing that, by giving them those warnings as well, his word then becomes their judgment. Hey guys, I warned you to make sure you stay true and don't turn away from me and don't turn away from my commandments. He gave them a heartfelt warning. And you know, the sad thing about it is that because Solomon was in such a good place at that time, because the people were in such a good place and there was peace and the temple had been built and everything is good, that's when you need to make sure not to forget and let things start slipping. Let the word of God and the promises of God start slipping and thinking, oh, you know, God has blessed us so well and wow, this is so great. But then if you're not careful, you don't walk with him as closely as you should. And things can start creeping in and compromise can start creeping in. And this morning, as we've considered these thoughts, I want you to take a good, long, hard look at your heart and your life. Are there things in your life that you've allowed to creep in there? Or maybe it's something that you've never really dealt with openly and honestly and finally. You know, the Word of God says that we ought to treat sin seriously. Jesus said, if your right eye is causing you to sin, pluck it out. If your right hand is causing you to sin, cut it off. Okay, I mean, not literally, because that really wouldn't help with your sin, but it's the idea of get on it, take care of it. Don't just mess around with sin. Do something radical to get rid of it, to take care of the problem or the issue. And many times we let little things get in our life, and then those little things become bigger things, and those things become bigger things. Let me give you an example. It can go both ways. You know, we're talking about a downward slope, but the other day on Thursday, my sister got a 4-ton load of gravel delivered to her, the half inch stuff, and they came and they dumped it, and she texted me about 9 o'clock and said, "Hey John, I need some help. Can you come and help me with this?" And I said, "Okay, sure." So I went over and, you know, for about 5 hours, you know, moved all those tons of gravel, put it in the wheelbarrow, shoveled it in there, moved the wheelbarrow up the driveway, moved it over. And my sister Debbie, she was raking and getting everything, making it look nice, leveling it so we know where we needed more. And so, you know, we took a bunch of breaks, you know, because you start getting a little older and you're not able to do as much as you did when you were younger, but that's all right. But my point is that, man, when we started, that pile looked pretty big. And, you know, you shovel and you do 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 loads, and it doesn't look like you did anything. And then, you know, take a break and you do some more, and it still doesn't. And gradually, though, you start noticing, and that as the farther it goes down, all of a sudden now it seems like things are really, and you do 5, 6 loads, and wow, it looked like you made a big difference. And so all that cumulative little good things and positive result and accomplishing something, it ended up and it accomplished the goal that we were trying to reach. And so we felt good about it. You know, we worked hard. We felt good that we'd accomplished what we did. And we went away feeling great. Okay, life can be like that, and especially in our relationship with God. You know, it's those little daily incremental, you know, doing that next right thing and just continuing to observe God's commands and his decrees and keeping our hearts and minds fixed on him and loving him and loving one another as he's asked us to do. As we continue to do that every day, ultimately we're going to be able to stand before the Lord and he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Okay, but the warning is if we're not careful and we let those things slide, if we let our light stop shining. I was telling our youth group last night that, you know, Jesus said, you are the light of the world, so let your light shine. And again, my question is, do we let our light shine? Are we shining our light? Are we doing good things? Are we doing good deeds? Are we doing things in the name of the Lord that not only we can recognize and that God can recognize, but other people can recognize? And that when we do that, we give the glory to God. You know, it's not because of our own righteousness or goodness, but it's because God has been so good to us. And so, you know, as we've considered these scriptures this morning, you know, wow, it's just gotten better. Solomon asked for wisdom. God gave it to him. You know, all the kings of the earth sent people to listen to him and gain wisdom from his wisdom. He's built this magnificent temple from the Lord. And the Lord's even blessed him with you know, having enough to build his own palace. And yet we're going to see the next time how he just started not being careful for all of his great wisdom. He didn't use it like God intended for him to use it. So we're going to see how Solomon went from a pinnacle of success and peace and everything else to a real mess. And then how from that real mess, it just continued to get worse and worse and worse and worse. And again, from Romans 15, we don't want to do that. We don't want to do that in our personal life. We don't want that to happen within the church. It's very difficult to see it in our neighborhoods, our communities, our states, our nation, and the world. But this is what happens, friends, when we neglect the Word of God, when we ignore the Word of God, or we discount it completely, when we don't acknowledge the Lord in all the things we do, when we don't trust Him, when we don't heed His wisdom and put it into practice in our life. And so let's resolve that we're going to do that this week. You know, every day is a good day to resolve that, but let's start today and say, hey, I'm resolved to learn from others' mistakes and failures, and so that I won't do that myself. I'm resolved to commit my heart to the Lord and be fully committed to Him each and every day, so that we'll have the confidence to stand before Him someday. And so let's have a word of prayer, and we'll go about our day. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for your great love for us. Thank you for your mercy and your grace to us. Lord, help us to be fully committed. And Father, we're so sorry when we're not. We're so sorry when we let sin rule even just for a small amount of time. God, help us to be people that have wisdom and discernment that is from you, that we'd recognize right from wrong. We'd choose to do right. We'd say no to worldly passions and ungodliness and sinful things. God, strengthen us with your power, your spirit in our inner man. And Lord, if there's anyone listening this morning that doesn't know you as God, that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, that, Lord, that they would start seeking, that they would find you, that they would realize that you're a good Heavenly Father, that you don't want people to have to go to a place of darkness and weeping and gnashing of teeth where there will be no presence of you at all. They'll be separated from eternity. And so, Lord, we just ask that people would heed your warnings and that they would realize there's a judgment day coming. And yet, Lord, you've made it a way possible that we don't have to stand in that judgment and be condemned, but that we can stand, even as we read earlier, in purity, spotless, with great joy, because of what Jesus has done for us and because of how we have allowed you to transform our lives, Lord, to walk with you in full heart, Lord. Thank you for this time we've been able to spend together. Bless us, Lord, as we go about each day. Lord, fill our hearts with your love and with your strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, thanks so much for listening. If you'd like to join us at the Church at Las Vegas, we'd encourage you to go on to our website, thechurchatlasvegas.com, thechurchatlasvegas.com. And under the contact page, contact us, there will be a button down there at the bottom that you can sign in with and tell us your name and your email address, phone number if you'd like, and let us know which of our services on Sunday morning, the 8:30 or the 10:30 service that you would like to be a part of. I will reach out to you by email and let you know, what are the expectations there and what's going to happen. And we would love to meet you. We still have kind of limited capacity right now during this COVID-19 thing. And so we're glad that we can meet. We praise the Lord for that. And we are meeting, but we do need your cooperation as far as letting us know that you'll be coming. Okay, so take care. God bless you. Keep standing on the solid rock, the rock that Jesus is the Son of the living God. God bless you.